everyone. Welcome in. Sit down. Get comfortable. Pop in those earphones. Get ready for another episode of the Ringside Rundown podcast brought to you by TWM.news. My name is Eric Vasquez, and joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on, my friend?
What is going on? I figured I was looking through my sports Twitter today, and I feel like you're in a really good mood today.
I am in a really good mood. My Giants did the unthinkable. I didn't think they were going to pull it off, but they pulled it off and got the win against the Minnesota Vikings. So they advance in the playoffs. Pretty good game. Very interesting. A lot of the playoff games have been very interesting.
Just yeah.
Wild and wacky. I mean, last night was crazy. The Jaguars came back down 27-0. They come back 31-30. Yeah. I say the Jaguars have to win the Super Bowl.
So that way
Triple H has to send a WWE title to the Khan family.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? That would be just the ultimate slap in the face.
That would be something. And it's funny because I was talking about it to a friend of mine, and he says that'll be the year that WWE suddenly forgets to send a title to the winning team.
They'd be like, oh, sorry, we don't make those anymore. Just kidding. And then completely send it to a completely different team that wins. So, yeah, I would laugh if that actually were to happen. But I have no stake in any of it because Steelers, I mean, I'm happy with how we ended the season. Like, that is not what I expected. I did not expect a winning record, let's put it that way. So I'll take it. My Penguins are losing left and right again, so that's great. But the Pirates got Andrew McCutchen back, so you know what? Everything's okay.
Oh, nice. Andrew McCutchen going back to the Pirates. Well, contrary to what's been going on, this is not a sports podcast. This is a professional wrestling podcast where Shay and I discuss the hottest topics in the world of professional wrestling. And this week is no different because we have a stuffed mailbag segment. So we're going to be fielding your questions about everything WWE, AEW, and everything in between. So it should be a fun episode.
Yeah, the listeners never disappoint with the questions. We have a very nice mix of WWE and AEW questions, and we got a lot of them today. I think we got 14, so we got a questions episode today.
Nice. I can't wait to get into it. So might as well start in and get into the mess that we have in the mailbag segment. What's our first question up?
All right. We're going to switch it up a little bit today. We're going to start with Mike's questions. So, Mike, thank you for your questions and support as always.
Thank you, Mike.
This is a rather interesting one. Do we think, with Jay White's contract expiring, is he going to be a lock to go to AEW? If not, or if so, do you think it's a better landing spot for him, or should he go to WWE?
Me personally, I would love to see him in WWE.
Right.
I think he's a good fit for the current culture of WWE, as crazy as that sounds with everything that's going on.
Yeah.
I feel like a Triple H-led vision of what Jay White could be in WWE would be great. I think he's more of a superstar than just a professional wrestler. He's morphed into someone who has charisma, personality, and is somewhat of a showman a little bit. So yeah. I think he'd be a better fit in WWE. That's just me.
Honestly, I kind of agree because Mike made a good point, too, that I was kind of thinking the same thing of with the way AEW signs people, I would be nervous of him like getting lost in the shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Because we've seen that happen one too many times to too many people in AEW. So, yeah, I feel like the fact that, like you said, he has just that like showmanship about him now, I think he would definitely fit more in WWE land because they like their big personalities over there, so I feel like he would just fit in, and I think he wouldn't. I would just think because of that personality, he wouldn't have the biggest risk of getting lost in the shuffle in WWE as he would in AEW.
Yeah, I think the thing is now, there's new people coming into the fold with Triple H changing everything, like, you know, Bronson Reed and everything like that, and you see him coming in. I feel like WWE, this current WWE, would know how to make a big splash when it comes to Jay White coming into a different promotion that is not New Japan. I think since he's already done a little bit of work with AEW, if he was to go to AEW, it kind of just feel like, oh, there's another guy for AEW. Whereas him going to WWE, it would be like big news, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be more of a surprise if he would show up at WWE. I mean, hey, put him in the Rumble. They always love the surprises.
That's what they're there for. So I'm interested in seeing what surprises are going to happen. I think Triple H knows that the Rumble is all about the surprises, so he might try to bring that back and trying to bring that allure of the Royal Rumble back with the surprises, so you never know what can happen.
Exactly. That's why it has always been and always will be my favorite pay-per-view. They always do is the Rumble for the surprise factor, and I'm excited for this one, as I always am. I just hope I don't... I'm rarely ever I ever disappointed to a degree, so we'll see what happens. But all right, so his other question is, how do we like Dominic Mysterio channeling his inner prison Mike from The Office?
I loved it.
He's hardcore now.
Yeah. To me, this is the one bright spot this week of WWE Raw was the ascension of the Judgment Day. You know, especially with everything that's going on with Dominic. The funniest thing was he's playing up this character who's done hard time and has been in prison, and he's this hardened criminal. And Kevin Patrick goes, he only spent a couple of hours in Central Booking.
It's just
fantastic,
right? It's one of those where it's like it's just so stupid you have to laugh at it, like,
and he's so good at it. It's crazy how he's just getting more comfortable in being part of a character like Judgment Day, someone that's attached to the hip of Rhea Ripley, aka Mommy, you know, and how he's just so attached to her, and it's working so well. It's amazing how Judgment Day went to this thing where you didn't know what you were going to get with Judgment Day, if it was going to be good or not. There's the whole thing about it being a supernatural faction and things like that. And they've just morphed into something that's a formidable faction on WWE Raw, and that's very enjoyable.
Exactly. I just hope they keep that fine balance of, you got the funny stuff with like Dom and Rhea, but at the end of the day, they're still a very formidable faction you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, because definitely.
We've seen that happen too many times where it's, oh, well, are we supposed to take them seriously? Because I can't really tell because they're doing some really like comedy kind of stuff right now. So hopefully they keep that balance because, I really liked what they've been doing with Judgment Day because it could have been dead in the water upon arrival, especially with Edge getting kicked out right away. But they've been good and they've been some of the better parts of WWE programming, I think. So I'm impressed.
And the segments that they decide to do over the holidays, you know, where the Thanksgiving and Christmas, where Dominic kind of infiltrates the whole family get together. I thought that was really creative stuff.
Yeah.
And that's kind of thinking outside of the box. So I'm all about it.
It kind of brings you back to the Attitude Era a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Like bringing the cops to the house and everything. It's like, this is something you would see in like early 2000s WWE. So I was not complaining at all.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy it.
I agree. So I think those were all of Mike's questions. So Mike, thank you again.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. This time we're going to move on to Mom's questions. So Mom, thank you for your questions. All right. This one is first off a comment, but I know we talked about this on the pre-production meeting. She could not be happier to see Adam Cole come back. The reaction he got was beyond amazing. I agree.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It was a surprise too. I had no idea there was no rumblings that Adam Cole was ready to come back. I thought it was going to be a segment with MJF.
And yeah, me too.
And it ended up being Adam Cole. So I'm not complaining. The one thing that I will notice is it came off as sort of like a babyface promo. You know, where he was thanking the crowd and the fans for all of their support while he was away, and how everyone just wanted him to get better, didn't really care about the wrestling. It was all about Adam Cole getting better and getting his health back, you know, because he was in a very scary situation. So it was a real heartfelt promo, and you believed it, you know. So I'm kind of glad they didn't turn it into an angle, you know, because it could have one of those things kind of got lost in the shuffle. But I'm interested in seeing which way they're going to go with Adam Cole. Is he going to be a good guy, bad guy? What's going on? Is he going to be the typical Adam Cole? Because I can't recall Adam Cole ever being a babyface. So I don't know how good he would be.
No, I don't think he has been, actually. I will definitely say I was genuinely surprised because I was kind of doing that thing where it's like I was paying attention to the TV, but I also kind of wasn't. So I was kind of like on my phone, and Tony was like, I take no pleasure in bringing this guy like out to the ring. And I'm like, oh, it's MJF, because that just sounds like something he would say about MJF. And then I heard the music and my head like shot up and I'm like, wait a minute. I know that music. I haven't heard that music in a very long time. And yeah, the promo was, it's one of those where it's like, you can tell if like a heel's trying to pull off a babyface promo and you're just kind of like, okay, yeah, this makes like no sense. It's not believable. You see right through them. But no, that one was genuine and heartfelt. And I could tell you, my mom was almost on the verge of tears on the phone when we were talking about it. And it was just, it worked. Surprisingly worked. And I really hope that, you know what, give him a chance to be a baby face. Maybe not like a full on like do-gooder kind of baby face, kind of like an anti-hero kind of thing. Because I think it could fit him really, really well. And yeah, I think the fans, I think, are going to be behind him no matter what. So you know what the hell, go for it. You have enough heels in the company right now. I don't think you need any more. And that's true. Having him as a face, you could go against MJF. You could, I mean, hopefully not go against the Appreciation Society, but you never know. But yeah, I say, you know, give it a try. And then if it doesn't work, turn him back. I just don't want them to do that thing like they seem to do with the heels sometimes, especially MJF, where it's, oh, guys, I'm turning over a new leaf. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I got you guys the whole time. It was just a joke. It's like, let him be the good guy for a little bit just to see what happens. Because, again, he's just so massively popular regardless that people are going to cheer him if he's good or bad. It doesn't matter. So I'm all for it. I'm just happy to see him back in the ring. When he did the whole good news, bad news thing, I was so nervous because I'm like, please don't say what I think you're going to say. And then when he said the whole bad news is for the other people in the locker room, I'm like, oh, thank God. I was like, oh, thank God he's back. So I'm excited to see him back because I don't know about you. I've missed seeing him in the ring because he's one of the better wrestlers in the world today. So I'm happy he's back.
Yeah, definitely. I'm happy he's back in it. Again, it's like you said, I would love to see, I just think of like the promo battles between him and MJF on the microphone.
Yes.
You know,
yeah,
that'd be great in terms of writing stories and being able to tell a good story between two people. Just the potential, like you said, in the matches that could be had with Adam Cole as a babyface is something to look forward to. But again, even if he's not a babyface, I think whatever story they're going to tell, they're going to tell it well. They're, you know, and that's what you get when you have creative input from the people in the organization that let you kind of run and be yourself. You know, it's not so micromanaged. You know, you could tell it's authentic. And that's the one thing about Adam Cole that works so well, is that he's an authentic guy. He's an authentic pro wrestler. He's not a gimmick pro wrestler. He's not a character or anything like that. What you see is what you get. So I think whatever direction they're going to go, I'm very in tune with it. I'm very excited to see which way they go.
I completely agree. It's just happy to have him back because it did not sound like it was very serious. So I'm glad that he is okay. And it's pretty much a miracle that he was cleared from all the things that he was saying about, like, couldn't even get in a car for more than 15 minutes. It's like, that's insane. That's how you could tell it was a very bad concussion, and sometimes those don't heal. So the fact that it did is it's a miracle, and we're just happy he's okay.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. The main thing is that he's okay. He's healthy. He's able to do what he loves to do, and can't wait to see what he has next in store for us.
I completely agree. All right, so this one I'm glad that we had a question about because I knew we would want to talk about this one. Which was the better street fight? Anna and Ty versus Ruby and Willow, or Anna and Ty versus the Bunny and Penelope? Because in my mom's opinion, both were very cringeworthy, but in a good way.
They were, yeah, definitely cringe in a good way because they made you go, ouch. And that's a lot of blood. As far as which one was better, that's tough.
It is. I feel like, as far as I remember, the match with Anna and Ty and Penelope and the Bunny, I hate saying it, it didn't have as blatant of a, like, mistake is Willow completely missing that table and just powerbombing Anna on the floor. I'm like, that was not good. Well, first off, I feel like we both can agree that I knew wrestling fans on Twitter and just in social media in general were going to just eviscerate her for that.
Yeah.
And oh, now all of a sudden she's terrible. She's a, sucks as a wrestler. She's just like, she's dangerous. It's like, it was one time. So people need to like get off her case. Like,
yeah,
it happens. Like, it's not like she's doing it all the time. So it's like, whatever. It was a mistake. Things happen. Fine. Poor Ruby. Oh my God. I,
oh, she was just leaking everywhere.
Yeah. And I was kind of talking about it with my mom as it was going on, and I'm trying not to just, like, I wouldn't say throw up. I was trying not to cry, because it's, like, obviously I love Ruby, so I'm, like, this is painful to watch. I hope this kind of does the same thing it did for Britt when Britt was losing pretty much her body weight and blood on the mat, is it makes, like, the star-making performance for her, because we talked about it back then, and we can talk about it now. It doesn't matter if you're a man or woman. If you are willing to bleed that much on live TV for the sake of a match, you deserve your flowers on that one. So Ruby deserves all the praise in the world, and she dished out that punishment as much as she took it. And my God, the no future on the thumbtacks, my God, that was yikes. That looked like it was painful. Everything looked like it was painful, honestly. But you know what? Props to all of them, but obviously especially Ruby, because oddly enough, besides a little bit from Anna Jay, she was the only one bleeding.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was that powerbomb spot and poor Anna Jay's back hitting that floor. That couldn't have been good. And no, like you said, it's nobody's fault. It wasn't like Willow blatantly went out there and tried to injure her or anything like that. She just kind of overshot the spot. That's all. It happens. You know, it happens. Hopefully everyone's okay. Like you said, everyone in that match, all four women, definitely brought it and definitely deserve props for going that hard. Because that was, it's just the image of Ruby just bleeding everywhere.
Yeah.
Just, I'm not a blood guy. I'm not a blood guy.
Yeah, maybe a little squeamish.
Know? Yeah. Yeah. Blood to me, like, you know, I understand it's necessity in pro wrestling, but I say the less blood the better, you know.
Yeah, and honestly, I now that I was kind of like looking at stuff earlier today on Twitter, I feel like she might have bled even more than Britt did, and that is saying a lot, because Britt bled a lot during that street fight. So you know what, props to Ruby. As far as the question goes, I feel like just for that table spot alone in this one, I'd have to say Anna and Ty and Penelope and the bunny had the better match, just because I don't remember them having like a monumental like mishap like that, but they were both very good in their own right, those matches. So I can't say complain, because I can't imagine just what all the pain and stuff they were just going through. It's almost just hard to say, because just sitting there, I couldn't tell you how many times I'm like, oh my God, this is like, I couldn't look at the screen for more than like a few seconds, because it was just ugh, blood everywhere, my God. I'm not so much squeamish about it, but still, just seeing that amount of blood coming out of just one person's face is, oh, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It definitely is. But they brought it, you know, and they made the match work. So props to them.
Team won.
Yeah, and I think so. I think the right team won. So good on AEW this week, and for the past couple weeks, AEW in terms of quality content has been on a roll. They've been really bringing it. So AEW has been fun to watch.
Yeah, and you know what? I know we don't have a question about it, but obviously since we're kind of on the topic of Rampage, that match with House of Black and Eddie and Ortiz, my goodness, the mind games in that match were fantastic. I loved that. That is House of Black right there to a T. They know how to just mess with your mind, and they just know how to systematically tear a friendship, faction, whatever, apart from the inside out, and they mastered that to perfection on Rampage, because the good thing is you can see both sides of it. Ortiz is mad because why were you going to try and hit Julia of all people? You're not supposed to, you know, stupid as it, you're not supposed to hit a girl. And Eddie's like, well, I didn't know it was her. And it was just, it was great. I loved it. I'm just hoping they're finally taking House of Black seriously now. And they actually, you know, give them some gold instead of just being a stepping stone for somebody. They just need it. We've said 1,000 times, House of Black needs all the recognition in the world.
I agree. I think whichever way they decide to go, whether maybe Ortiz joins House of Black or or even, like we said it before, Eddie Kingston joining House of Black, I think Eddie Kingston can tap into that dark side of his psyche.
Yeah.
You know, and that even if he doesn't join the House of Black, I feel like this budding rivalry that's happening before our eyes is going to be something that's going to make us go, we're going to get a lot of oohs and ahs out of it, because the way that it'll be presented to us from both sides, from both the House of Black and Eddie Kingston and Ortiz, I think is going to be one of those things that's going to keep us guessing and keep us thinking, you know, everything is just going to be so cryptic. You know, and Eddie Kingston's such a real character. We said it before, man. What would it be like if Eddie Kingston was a world champion? You know? But like you said, that match on Rampage was a fun match, and I didn't, you know, expect the whole finish with Julia getting in the ring with the chair, and like you said, that whole thing about hitting Julia with the chair and that ending the match. I thought that was very creative. Another match, not to jump away from the House of Black, but another match, now that we're talking about the role that AEW has been on, is I want to talk about is Bryan Danielson versus Konosuke Takeshita. That match would definitely be on my match of the year list of that multiple was so matches. Good. It definitely was. I kind of was like tuning into AEW just for that match.
Yeah.
And that match delivered 100%.
Absolutely. I will say, though, the promo with MJF before it, and I guess that rubbed me the wrong way. I did not like that at all, because it's just like, you know what he was trying to do, but it's like, really, like, why do we have to go there? I hate that kind of stuff. It bothers me because it just happens so often in society. So I'm like, not a really big fan of that. So, yeah.
I kind of felt the same way when he was like speaking English and things like that. But I felt like the recovery and Konosuke telling him to kiss his ass, that was a pretty good recovery, and it fit perfectly. Just the way that MJF was running up the ramp when Bryan Danielson came out, he was doing full wind sprints up the ramp. Man. Now, what do you think? They're building up Bryan Danielson as a formidable competitor for MJF's title. Eventually, we're going to get this Iron Man match, the 60-minute Iron Man match. But there's no way that MJF is going to lose the title in his first defense, right?
I wouldn't think so. So I thought it was kind of surprising that they went with Danielson right away. But I guess he's just that good. And I suppose he's almost like creatively bulletproof. So I guess him losing wouldn't be a problem. But I guess you just still can't help but sit there and go, why was he the first one? I mean, technically it was second because Ricky was the first, but still, it's like, that's a little too soon, I think. But I guess that's why we don't rate the storylines, I guess. But I wouldn't have put him that quickly.
Yeah. Who would you have rather have gone with? So, you know, as his first.
It's tough because like I said, obviously, Ricky, it kind of sucked because he was obviously like riding a massive wave of momentum right now. You couldn't even say Takeshita either, because same reason. You can't have somebody on a hot streak like him lose. And obviously no one would have expected him to win the title, but damn, who could he pull?
I would have said someone like Jungle Boy.
Yeah. That would have been a good one, yeah.
I think that would have been a good first feud. Two young guns, and Jungle Boy could probably afford to take the loss and would build him up as a main event star, like someone who can go in the main event, you know. But it's just interesting, like you said, that they're going with Danielson first, and you don't expect MJF to lose the title in his first defense. So he's going to have to figure out a way to weasel his way into a victory whenever this Iron Man match happens. Because, again, they're trying to build up Danielson as a formidable competitor. So he's taking on guys like Takeshka. He's going to be taking on Bandido this Wednesday on Dynamite, which should be a great match. So it's going to be interesting. I like how they try to at least build up the competitors.
Yeah. It's not just like, oh yeah, Danielson's going to run him over. At least it's like, even if in the back of your mind, you're like, you know, Danielson's going to win. It's still a competitive match. It's not just a one-sided, like he's not running people over. It's still good matches week after week.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
All right. So now that we've recapped Dynamite a little bit and Rampage, we'll go to WWE side for Mom's last question, which is, this is going to be a fun one. Who do we see as a viable challenger to Charlotte's Flair's title, if anybody?
Ooh.
Well,
it's hard because we've seen everybody get a shot.
Almost. You know who I'm going to say, but it won't make sense right now. Like, it won't.
You want Shayna?
Yes, because I just want Shayna to win the goddamn title. It's like Statlander with the TBS title. If I say it enough times, I think it'll hopefully just happen. But I just...
I think there's a way you can make it make sense where, like, Shayna's like, well, you came in here and bombarded my best friend and caused her to lose the title, so I'm going to take the title from you.
Yeah. And then actually take the title, not just, oh, I'm just all talk and no, like, substance. But other than that, it's like, who else is there? Because, I mean, we saw Sonya go after her, which I'm like, obviously, I love Sonya. But I really do it. Does anyone think Sonya's going to beat her for the title? No.
But I do appreciate the fact that they're going someone new.
Yes.
You know, yes. It's not the same formula of the same competitors and the same people. So I do appreciate the fact that Sonya Deville is someone different in the title picture. Not saying that she's going to end up winning the title or anything like that, but at least it's someone different.
Yeah, I honestly can't complain with Sonya. It's just, it was kind of like what we were talking about with Jeff last week. I just kind of wish she brought back her, like, fighter gimmick, not really the, like, ex-GM or whatever she's doing right now. I kind of want the Pride Fighter back, which maybe we'll get her back at some point, who knows. But yeah, I appreciate that somebody else is, even though we know what the outcome is going to be. I'm just hoping, if there's a god somewhere, Shayna, just, I don't even care who she beats at this point, just give her the title already. I'm someday, maybe.
I think it's gonna happen soon. I honestly hope so. It's gonna happen soon.
I hope so. I think for my sanity, I want it to happen soon, but we'll see what happens. But hopefully it'll be Shayna, because at this rate, I don't really know who else there is that could believably challenge Charlotte. So I'll just say Shayna, just for the heck of it.
Yeah. Shayna would be a good choice, obviously, because the whole situation with Charlotte just steamrolling Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So honestly, that's why I think Shayna would be a good choice. It's just all a matter of how to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. And because I have a feeling, I don't know, I don't think they would do it at the Rumble. I feel like, well, then again, Shayna could win the Rumble. Who knows? Except I feel like it's more going to be Rhea, though. I just have a feeling. But I'd be okay with either. I love them both. So if Rhea wins, great. If Shayna wins, great. I'll be happy either way. But that's, you always got to have to think around this time of year what's going to happen with the Rumble, because that might throw a monkey wrench into some plans. So
for sure. This is the first year where I really don't have a prediction as far as, like, who's going to win the Rumble. I can't.
Yeah.
I have no idea which way they're going to go, what direction they're going to go, which I kind of enjoy. You know,
honestly,
it takes me back to being a fan first off, you know, which is more important than anything is being a fan and enjoying it. So I'm kind of glad that I don't really have a pick in this. I'm just kind of interested in seeing how it's going to play out.
Yeah, honestly, that's kind of how I am with the men's rumble. I really don't have a pick on that side, but I just have a sneaking suspicion it's Rhea. But either way, I think I'm still going to enjoy the rumble. Like I've said, that's always been my favorite pay-per-view regardless. So I'm excited for it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, especially of those rumors that I heard where they were trying to get a Forbidden Door entrant in there. So we'll see who that may or may not be. That could be a whole episode in itself, really. But yeah, it's gonna be a fun rumble, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, so I think those are all of Mom's questions. So Mom, thank you again. And now we're gonna go on to Jack's questions. So Jack, thank you for your questions as always. This one I'm glad someone asked because I really did want to talk about this and at length. Should Tony Khan have played down the rumors of Mercedes Moné coming to AEW sooner? Absolutely he should have, because I'm just going to go on a little bit of a rant for a minute. I felt so bad for Jamie, Britt, Tony, and Saraya in that match, because everyone and their brother, their sister, their cousins, I think were expecting Mercedes to show up. Because you can't, how many weeks ago? It was like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. You cannot say, oh, well, Saraya's going to have a mystery opponent or a mystery partner of her choosing. So it's automatically, everyone's like, it has to be Mercedes. It has to be Mercedes. Mm-hmm. And then once supposedly, I'd assume Tony realized he couldn't get her, you should have done something better than literally having that sit down thing and just having Saraya go full on, oh yeah, I know Sheeta, you're here, but kind of like, screw you, Tony, you're the best wrestler in the, like, women's wrestler in the world, I'm gonna pick you. It was so bad that I guess I was trying to justify it with, oh well, that's not what's gonna actually happen, that's just gonna be like a filler until we actually get to the match, and then something's gonna happen, and it's just, it can't just be Tony. And then it was Tony, and that just, I felt so bad because the match itself I thought was really good. I thought it was a really good match, but I think a lot of people, it took the wind out of their sails, and I don't think people were as, like, invested in it as much as they should have been, because that problem in wrestling where you hype the fans up to death about something and don't deliver on it, they're not going to feel the same way about that match. And they didn't, because it was just kind of like, we're waiting for something and then it never happens. And now it's just like, okay, well, we're kind of bummed a little bit. And I just don't know what Tony was thinking. He should have just, as soon as he knew Mercedes wasn't going to be in there, he should have come up with something different, because it kind of just comes off, at least to me it did, Saraya kind of came off a little bit of like an asshole to a degree, because it's like, oh yeah, Sheeta, you're right next to me, but I'm just going to completely ignore the fact that you're here and like Tony and I are just going to talk. So you know what? That's one of those, if Sheeta inevitably turns, because I feel like that's kind of where we're headed, I don't blame her in the slightest. That's one of those where it's like, you sympathize with the bad guy, because it's like, we've all been there before. I mean, hell, kind of like the whole Becky and Charlotte thing. You keep getting overlooked, and you just can't take it anymore. So, yeah, and it was just a shame, because people should have been into that match way more than they were, especially with like the ending too. It added a whole other layer to that, where I took it as Sheeta was trying to prove that, hey, I'm just as useful, not really what you were thinking when you were picking me, and it just completely backfires. So that's a whole other wrinkle into it, because I'm sure Saraya now can be like, well, why didn't you just throw it to me? You just threw it right in the middle of the ring for anybody to grab and whatever's. But it's just like, what was he thinking? You could have just done that so much better than he did. And that was just another thing of, he put all his eggs in one basket, and oh yeah, we're gonna get Mercedes, so you know, it's no big deal. And then when we realized we couldn't, we went into panic mode, and that was the best you could do. It was just, it's a shame.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing. I feel like I live under a rock, because like, Mercedes wasn't even on my radar in terms of coming to AEW. Not saying that she'll never come to AEW, but yeah, in terms of now, I didn't have that on my bingo card as like Mercedes Moné showing up in AEW. So when everybody was all up in arms and in an uproar over her not being there, I was like, do I live under a rock? Because
no,
I didn't have her showing up. Like, that wasn't even in my psyche. So it's just, I'm still so confused by this whole thing, where, you know, everybody's upset that she didn't show up, because I'm like, if me personally, unless you say you're going to be there, like, you know,
yeah,
I, you know, it's
not, it's more of like, you'll believe it when you see it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how I've always been when it came to wrestling, you know, because you hear a lot of these things, and a lot of this could have just been rumor that she was just going to show up. No one specifically said that she was going to show up. So can you be mad? You know,
I think the thing is that I think a portion of the wrestling fan base kind of gets caught up in the wrestling wars that don't really exist. Mm-hmm. And so every time wrestler from insert company named AEW or WWE here leaves their company, automatically you have to go to the other one just to spite them.
Right.
And I think it was Saraya, if I remember correctly. I think she was doing like a podcast or an interview or something. I think somebody had asked her, if I remember correctly, like, oh, about the wars, and do people actually like not like each other on either side? And she's like, no, we actually all want everyone to do well. There really is no like bad blood, and AEW has to hate WWE and vice versa. It's just like, I think they just make up the drama just for the sake of making up the drama. So I think they just fell into that trap of, oh, a big name WWE star left the company, so they have to go to AEW. It has to be her.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, Tony Khan should have known that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you could have delivered on anybody else, because the problem is, it was too easy to just assume it was going to be Sheeta or Tony. So when you pick the two of them, it was so easy and oblivious, like I was saying, where I was like, oh, well, that can't be it. Something has to happen on Wednesday. Like, that's not what's going to actually happen. Something else has to happen. And then it didn't. And it's like, well, that's a shame. I was still able to enjoy the match, though, because the four of them put on a very good match. It was a fun match for me. But I could tell why a lot of people were upset, because they set themselves up to fail.
Yeah.
And Tony did not help with that at all. He could have handled that so much better than he actually did.
Yeah, that's the problem when you don't deliver on what the fans think they want to see, you know? It's kind of you run that risk of looking like a jerk.
You could have literally just picked anybody else not named Hikaru Shida or Tony Storm, and fans still would have been pleasantly surprised, I think.
Yeah.
You just shouldn't have went with the two obvious choices in front of you the entire time. I mean, hell, throw Abaddon in there and see what happens. That would have been something. I would have been, wouldn't you? That have been a genuine shock.
That would have been a genuine shock for sure.
Exactly. And it's like, it would have been better than just, oh, of course you would go with those two. So it's like, come on.
I'm interested in seeing what's going to happen with Sheeta. Mm-hmm. If she's going to kind of embrace this. Not that she wanted to cause them the match. I think she's just going to try so hard to get on the good graces of Saraya that she's just ultimately going to corrupt herself.
Yeah, you know? And you know what? And it's one of those where it's like, you sympathize with the bad guy, because we've all been in that kind of situation before. So you know what? It would be very hard to cheer or boo Sheeta. I would be cheering for her, because it's like, you know what? If you go, girl. Like, I fully do not blame her at all if and when she turns, which is more of a matter of when she turns. Mm-hmm. I will not blame her in the slightest.
Me either.
All right, so I know. Okay, so this is your turn to rant. Has the Jericho Appreciation Society versus Ricky Starks and Action Andretti feud gone on too long?
Wow. Jericho Appreciation Society. Oh my
god. In general, yeah. I mean, I think we can both agree the promo between the two this week on Dynamite was not good. I did not like it.
No?
No. It was just so dumb. Like, it was one of those where it's like, you're just hearing these back and forth things, and it's like, you guys are better than this. I'm gonna smack your face right off your face.
Yeah, that was I could totally see where you're coming from when you put it that way.
Because they make Hager look so stupid now. Like Ricky said, you literally are just a laughing stock. You're a joke. Like, I like this hat. That's literally all he can say. It's stupid. I think it's just like our shared aversion to just Jericho and the Appreciation Society in general. I guess I'm just overly critical of it, but it's just like, I did not, again, it could have been so much better than it actually was this week. And I don't know why they couldn't have just made it better, especially with as good of a talker as Ricky is. And, you know, I got to give credit to Jericho too. They could have done so much better with it. It was just underwhelming, I guess, for me.
I mean, that's how I get when I see Jericho Appreciation Society. Anyway, so it's just exactly. Like, I don't know if I could really rant on it because, I've said it from the get-go. This whole thing, it's not elevating anyone because, like, you don't see, I can't remember, Daniel Garcia's last match was in an ROH pay-per-view. Yeah. The other two goofs, what their name is, Cool.
Oh, man, them.
Whatever. Those two, I haven't seen them in a match, so I don't even really know. Hager's got his hat thing going on. And Ty Mello's just crazy. She's a street fighter now.
Yeah, apparently.
So it's just like
Sammy's just annoying.
Yeah, Sammy's just Sammy, you know.
And Anna is an absolute shell of what she used to be, I'll say it.
And so it's like I will say I was surprised that Action Andretti had a little bit of talking skill.
That wasn't bad.
Yeah, I kind of felt like he held his own, and he didn't come off as like a rookie indie guy. So that was pretty cool. So now is this leading to like a tag match that's gonna happen? Oh well, no, it's leading to Hager and Starks.
Yeah, which did you catch this too? Because I noticed this as well. They announced the match before that promo even started. And then at the end of the promo, they're like, well, why don't let's just make this match right now? It's like, you guys literally announced this match like 10 minutes ago. So much so to the point that the announce team had to be like, oh yeah, well, Tony already like made this official earlier. And it's like, then what was the point of the end of that promo? Like, it was sloppy. It was just sloppy. Like, guys, come on. Yeah. So it's just like,
where you're coming from there. It was just kind of, but again, when it's Jericho Appreciation Society, like my attention span just dwindles.
You and me both.
And then they showed up at PWG, which I thought was crazy in its own right, but it makes sense that it's, you know, an AEW adjacent company.
Yeah. It's just like, why are you here? Like, that's how we feel about the Jericho Appreciation Society as a whole. Why are you here? Which, whatever. This is a fun one. Who should challenge Jamie Hayter at Revolution? Jack's hoping it's Athena to have a hard-hitting match. That would be fun. That'd be one.
Jamie Hayter's just so good.
Right? You can literally put anybody, well, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people in front of her, and it would be really, really good. You know, I'd kind of like to see I don't think they're going to do the whole Brit thing just yet. They might wait till maybe Double or Nothing or All Out, because I feel like those are, like, the two big, big pay-per-views. I would kind of like to see, like, a newly turned Sheeta going against Jamie.
Ooh. That match that they had a couple weeks ago, what a match.
So then add that on top of Sheeta turning into a bad guy and amping up the intensity times 11. Those two might just kill each other.
I would definitely pay money to see that match again.
Exactly. So would I. It would be, that would be so much fun. It would be a great time. I would love that.
I would too. Yeah. I mean, Sheeta is always going to be a favorite of mine. I think that's one thing that AEW does so great is with their foreign talent is they really know how to elevate them and make them feel special and make it feel like a big deal that they're here in the States wrestling for AEW. So I'll always have like a soft spot for like Sheeta, Riho, Yuka Sakazaki, Emi Sakura, you know, stuff like that. You know, I feel like those ladies all deserve their chance to shine, but Jamie Hayter is just on a whole nother planet right now. Not only just like the organic reception that she gets from the fans, but her quality of matches have been so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like, I can't really remember the last time she's had a bad match.
Right?
That's just how good Jamie is. Like, that's just her in a nutshell. It's just, she is just that damn good. And we cannot say, we just can't say enough about Jamie. I think that could, we could turn this into a Jamie hater like recap show rather quickly.
Yeah, a love fest.
Honestly, we could do that with a lot of people, to be honest. It'd be kind of annoying after a while, but you know what? It's our show. We could do what we want. But for the enjoyment of the listeners, we won't do that to them unless they want us to. But anyway, all right. So Jack's last question is, how hyped are we for Jungle Hook? Because Hook being the new Luchasaurus is amazing.
Oh, well, my God.
Well, him suplexing Big Bill was something else to see. That's for damn sure.
That was a star-making moment right there. That solidified him as a star right there.
He, like, threw all of his strength into that, and that was just, and the crowd ate that up. The crowd ate that up. It was just, oh, you couldn't have done any better.
Yeah, that's when you know you have a star. Like, it's a simple T-bone suplex spot, you know, big man versus slightly smaller man, and the smaller man gets the upper hand. You know, it was a perfect wrestling spot, and like you said, the crowd ate it up, and it was perfect.
Yeah, it was just great. We just can't say enough about it again, as usual.
Yeah, Jungle Hook is really cool because I feel like it could be a thing where they can go their separate way, do their own thing, and reconvene as a team whenever they feel like it, and it'll just work.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, that's just how good he is. Plain and simple. Mm-hmm. It's just, remember when we said about we could turn it into a love fest? We could do that for Hook, too.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And Jungle Boy. It's, yeah.
For sure.
It was just good. What can you say? And just the reaction he got when he got the hot tag, Hook, it was just like, again, blew the roof off the place. Like, my God. It was just great. What can you say? It was just fun.
Imagine Hook and MJF going at it on the mic.
Oh my God, like MJF just losing his mind and Hook just standing there, like not caring.
What can you say to Hook that can like damage his ego or anything like that?
Yeah, literally.
There's nothing there.
Nope. He's just like, okay. All right. Wouldn't it be? That would be something, wouldn't it? All right, so that was all of Jack's questions. Jack, thank you again. Appreciate it. Thank you, Jack. Let's see. Now we're going to go to Jeff. Jeff has the last of our questions. So Jeff, thank you. And also, check out our podcast with him from last week. It was probably one of our favorite episodes we've done, honestly. And that's just not even being biased. That was a lot of fun.
It was.
End of the year.
Yeah, it definitely was a lot of fun recapping the end of the year and coming up with a wish list and also learning about Joshi Wrestling through Jeff. Yes. So definitely check that out. It's in the archives. We'll let you know later on how you can check that out.
Yes, exactly. We'll get the silver platter ready. We'll dust it off.
Yeah.
All right. So Jeff's first question, and I know you wanted to talk about stuff like this when we were talking in the pre-production meeting. If Tony Khan actually did buy WWE, and there was a merger, like he said he would love to do, what are some of the matches that absolutely must be made? Oh, I love these ones. I love these questions.
You definitely have to throw the Young Bucks in there. I would love to see the Young Bucks and the Usos.
Oh, that would be a good one.
That would just be off the wall.
Hell yeah. You could even say, honestly, throw the Street Profits in there too. They're pretty, I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
Oh boy. I'm trying to think of some of the women's matches, because obviously that would be my forte.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. It opens the door for a lot more women's matches.
Oh, this one I would empty my entire bank account out to see Chris Stadlander and Rhea Ripley.
Ooh.
Those two would kill each other, and I would love every second of it. I would just I cannot say.
Jamie Hayter and Rhea Ripley would be good.
Oh my God, that Jamie and Shayna.
Yeah.
Who else? I'm trying to think. Ooh, Sheeta and Dakota Kai.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun.
Two strikers just kicking the ever-living shit out of each other. Like, ugh.
That would be a lot of fun.
I feel like, and I feel like the, I feel like the internet, wrestling internet community would explode for me saying this, but you would almost have to, and it kind of pains me a little bit to say it, but Britt and Charlotte.
That'd be interesting.
Who's the, like, actual head of the division, because those two can make the very good argument that either one of them could be, and they just beat each other senseless to be, like, the top woman in the company. I would like to see it, because I would like to see Britt win, but you gotta get the two faces of the divisions up there.
It's definitely an interesting time with WWE being on the market to be sold, yeah. And AEW being a potential suitor, because they do have the money there. They do have the money. I mean, Shad Khan is in the top 10 of richest people in the world.
Yeah. You
know? So it's not like he doesn't have the capital to do it. It's just, obviously, if it's a smart business decision, I think Vince McMahon, I was talking to a friend of mine about it earlier, and he's like, Vince McMahon wouldn't sell his company to AEW. He would kill himself before he would do that. But I don't think so. I think he cares more about the money.
At this rate, he just wants the money. That's all he wants, which is, like, not surprising, but that's just Vince for you.
It's just so crazy. It'll never not blow my mind that he'd rather sell the company than set his family up for generations.
Yeah. Honestly, I love that my mom kind of had the same, kind of the opposite reaction, because we were kind of talking about it, and she's like, the Khans do not have that much money to buy WWE. I'm like, they are a billionaire family.
They definitely have that money.
They have the money. It could happen if they were so inclined. So I would like to see it.
I would like to see it too, because it would turn wrestling on its head. You know,
it would
definitely change the landscape of professional wrestling, but just the simple fact that we would creatively, we would get kind of like a breath of fresh air, you know?
Yep.
I think it would just be so weird. How would it work with Triple H and Tony Khan? Could they get together and be creatively in sync with each other in terms of making a good product, you know? But this is all in a perfect world, you know? Yeah. That to me is like a perfect world. I don't know if, I'm not saying that AEW, that's my number one wish, that AEW does buy WWE, but there's also people like Disney's in the mix. You know, another extension of AEW, Warner Brothers is in the mix, you know? So, you know, it's an interesting time to be a fan of professional wrestling, especially if you're a fan of what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, which, I mean, we do like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's
we definitely do.
It drives us insane sometimes, but that's the price we pay, I suppose. Well, speaking of Vince selling the company, this one we have to put a little bit of a hypothetical situation on, because this rumor went around incessantly over the last, like, what, week or so. And it's pretty much been debunked that it's not happening as of right now, so thank God for that. But, hypothetically, if Vince would sell WWE to the Saudis, like he seems like he wants to, which, again, we hope not, could we actually see ourselves supporting and watching them anymore? And this is where we talked about in the pre-production meeting. If this were to actually happen, this would put us in a bit of a creative pickle, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we'd be like, what the hell do we do now? Because that would be a slippery slope.
Yeah, that'd be really, that'd be bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be really, really bad. Because then it would almost be like, I guess it's an AEW like recap show now. Because we talk time and time again how terrible the Saudis are to a bunch of different groups of people, and I am a part of a couple of them, so it would be very hard for me to justify supporting a company that doesn't think I should exist. So that's I don't like that at all. It would be very it would not be fun. And I really hope we don't get to that point. And as of right now, it sounds like we're not going to. Yeah, it would be very uncomfortable, to say the least, if that were to actually happen.
It'd be like the first time my moral compass was like tested really heavily. Yes. Because it's so hard, because WWE's all I've known for, I'm 36, 33 years of my life. Yeah. I've been a WWE fan. Like I've always said, my earliest life memories involve wrestling, you know, and more specifically the WWE, because that's what I was brought up on. So for them to how could I justify, supporting them if they're a part of this regime of just people, like you said, who take these marginalized groups and just offend them. It's just so icky.
It makes you feel like you want to take a shower.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, that's, I have the ick.
Yeah, right? We have the ick. Yeah, now that's, like I said, hopefully we won't have to deal with that. But if it does, I'm sure we'd have to address it, but hopefully that day will not happen. But, clearly stranger things have happened, so we'll just hope it doesn't.
Yeah, it's just weird right now because we see reports. I mean, Stephanie McMahon resigns as co-CEO of WWE. She's back on her hiatus, leaving Nick Khan to be the sole CEO of WWE. We hear things that there's been reports of Stephanie McMahon and Vince McMahon not getting along for the longest time.
No.
Yeah. Shocking. So I imagine being part of the McMahon family and just being in the midst of all this turmoil. Ugh.
That, talk about the ick. That's just, dealing with that kind of family, I would rather not. That's just a little too stressful for me, I would think.
For sure.
Yeah, no. Ugh, God. But needless to say, let's just hope the Saudis stay far away from WWE, so we don't have to deal with that, but we'll see what happens. All right, so we talked about this a little bit with Jeff last week. He said if the evil murder clown Kana, Asuka's very evil alter ego, appears on WWE TV, who should be the first woman she feuds with, and who do we want to see her face the most? I'll go backwards on this question. The person I would want to see her face the most, at least in their current version right now, would have to be Alexa Bliss.
That'd be a lot of fun.
You have two evil characters that want nothing more than to cause pain and suffering to people. Trying to do that to each other would be, take my money now.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, I'm going to go back to Rhea Ripley. I think the way it would work, because Kana is, she's amped up. She's more brutal. I think it just fits perfectly with the style. Rhea Ripley reminds me of like the women's division version of Sheamus. You can take liberties, you can throw extra hard punches and make it more believable. And that just seems right up the alley of what this persona that Asuka has is, just someone who's amped up the brutality. And what's a perfect way to go up against a brutal person like Rhea Ripley, who would just take it and dish it out? I think it would be great.
And the history is there. Rhea's for the one that beat Asuka for the title at WrestleMania a few years ago. So I would love that. As opposed to who should she face first, though? That would be, it's almost like you hate saying it this way, but it's pretty much the truth. It's like, who would you love to throw at Kana just to get put through a meat grinder?
You're literally throwing them into a buzzsaw.
I feel like it would have to be someone like, who? Well, I would like for her to stay away from Damage Control, because I would have a terrible feeling they would do that to Dakota Kai, and I am not going to let that happen, so nobody in Damage Control. We keep them away from Damage Control. It wouldn't be Becky or Bianca.
Damage Control makes a lot of sense, though.
I hate it, but because it's like I don't want Dakota to die.
It'd be funny if she like goes around kidnapping members of Damage Control.
Oh God, yeah. Like, ugh. Aside from Damage Control, just for my own sake, you wouldn't have her and Alexa go at each other right away. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to remember who else is on the roster. It's kind of sad.
She could always switch over and go to SmackDown too.
Yeah, let me look this up because I'm completely blanking right now. If that was the case, it would almost have to be like Xia Li or
Raquel Rodriguez.
I feel like with the way Triple H is booking her right now, I don't think that's going to happen because I just love her too much for some reason. Let's see. On Raw, we got Alexa, obviously Asuka, Bayley, Becky, and Bianca. It's not going to be. It could be Candace. Could be Candice LeRae.
Candice LeRae would be good to bring her back into the fold and make her a prominent figure.
Yeah, Carmella's still on the roster, I guess, but she's been gone for a while, so I don't see that happening.
What's going on with her?
I have no idea. Injured, I think, maybe? I don't remember. I thought I saw something a while ago, but I don't remember. Obviously, we're not going anywhere near Dakota, because she's going to be protected at all costs in my world. Dana Brooke, that would be an easy one. As much as you hate to say it, but Dana would probably get completely run over.
I feel like all these women would get run over by an evil Asuka.
Except Io. I think Io would be a pretty tough challenge.
Oh, man, that'd be so good, though.
Oh, Kana versus Io. Boy, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
I need that match. I need it.
You need that injected straight into your veins.
I need it. Just give it to me.
Right? It's too good. It is too good. Yeah, I feel like you would have to, unfortunately, have one of the, like, lower card women be run over first, because you just don't want to do that to the higher-ups women on the card. So I would say it would have to be, like, Candace or Dana, as much as you hate it. Because I hate it, because Candace is good. Like, she deserves to be up in the, like, upper card, but just with the amount of star power, like, Raw has right now, it's kind of, by default, she's lower on the card, which is a shame, but... Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but I'm just interested in seeing how they're going to portray this evil side. If it's going to happen, I feel like it is going to happen, or at least just me just wanting it to happen so badly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just tough. It's just tough because, again, you put anybody in front of Kana, and Kana might commit murder live on TV.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's just tough. Anyway, all right, before we like make our heads hurt with figuring out other stuff about that, this is gonna be an interesting one. Was it the best decision to give the Elite the Trios titles back? It feels like to Jeff it was a stupid decision personally. It was almost blatantly obvious that that was gonna happen, and I kind of hated it because it's like I feel like, and this is just me speculating, because obviously we don't know what goes on in AEW. I feel like if Tony Khan could have done it without it being a PR nightmare, he would have kept the titles on the Elite.
Oh, of course. Without a doubt. Because if there was no PR nightmare, there wouldn't be no suspension or anything like that. That was my big thing, is everybody was talking about Mercedes Moné potentially going to AEW and how that was a mishap that didn't happen. I was wondering if CM Punk was going to show up, because there's been rumblings of they want to have a sit down possibly and kind of make this all go away and do what's best for business, or at least that's what everybody's hopeful for down the line. So I thought it would have been a perfect situation just to have CM Punk's music hit. He comes out, he shows up at the top of the ramp, just staring at the Elite, and then that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
And then you're like, fuck, I gotta wait till next week to see what happens.
Right? Like that again, the must-see TV. We have to go back next week and watch and see what happens. Yeah, I completely agree. It was just a... we kind of talked about it last week too. This whole best of seven thing was just kind of excessive, I think.
Very, very.
It was literally excessive. The same match, just with a different coat of paint every time. And that's the worst part. It was like, they were good matches, don't get me wrong, but it was just like, okay, we expected it to be a car crash, and it was a car crash because it was just chaotic from the beginning, and it's just like, okay, it was just, I don't know, I guess the whole, like, best of seven thing was just weird to me, because we kind of, we talked about it last week, where it's like, once you started gimmicking the last three matches, of course it was going to the seventh match, like,
yeah,
come on, it wasn't, there was no built up excitement for it, it was just kind of like, you knew where it was going, and to a degree, you kind of knew what was going to happen at the end, so it's just kind of like, okay, like, I don't know. It just kind of took the fun out of it a little bit for me, but that's just me personally.
And the one thing is, as good as the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, not necessarily Kenny Omega, but the Young Bucks specifically, as good as they are very good. They're a very good tag team. They're kind of one-dimensional.
You know?
Yep. So everything is gonna look the same.
You just drew the ire of half of the wrestling community on that one, but I fully agree with you.
I mean, like, I'm not saying that they're bad. They're very good at what they do.
You just know what to expect.
Exactly. It's the same blueprint. It's the same formula, you know?
Yeah.
And seven matches of the same exact thing. So it's like, of course, everybody's just going to be like, I mean, the ladder match or the TLC match, Escalera de la Muerte, whatever you want to call it, was a fun match. But like you said, you know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, you expected that car crash.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's funny that you mentioned that too, because I have a friend who a while ago, we talked about the whole Young Bucks thing, and he's like, here's the problem. You know, they're good. But you know, for the most part, you are not going to get an ounce of storytelling out of them in a match.
Right.
Because all they're going to do is hit the greatest hits. They're going to hit their things. You're going to freak the crowd out, pop the crowd, and that's it. It's just, that's just the problem. It's like, you can't say they're bad because they're not. They're just, they have one note and they know how to play it and they're really good at it. And that's about it.
That's it. That's basically it. They know they're bad. That's basically it.
And that is literally it. It's a shame. So before we get flamed from the online wrestling community, Jeff's last question, and I believe our last question of the night, and this is another one of those fun questions that I always love getting. If we were going to start a wrestling company of our own, who would we pick to be our pillars of the company? He said to pick one male and one female from both WWE and AEW, and then maybe a couple names not signed to either of them. I love these questions so much because it's just, what's my inner GM come out?
Right.
I feel like, oh Lord. It's tough, but it's like, because there's so many ways directions you can go with this.
Yeah.
Let's just start with AEW first, I suppose.
Okay.
So who would be your pillar for AEW? Two pillars for AEW. It's so tough. I feel like it's way too obvious to say Britt is like the women's pillar, because it's obvious. Even if she wasn't the pillar, she still is the face of the division. But she just happens to be both. I'll say Jamie.
Yeah.
Jamie for the women, for sure. Especially with the role she's on now. You put her as like the face of your division, you are set for a very long time.
Yeah. She's like I was saying with how like the Young Bucks are one-dimensional. She is the opposite of one-dimensional. Yes. She has a lot of different facets to her game that it just makes her... I think that's another reason why she's so organically like this, because she just brings something different to the table.
Yeah, I completely agree. The worst part is, for the men, I have three names come to mind when I think of the men, and it's tough because I don't know who to pick. Because... The first one that came to mind was Adam Cole, because obviously. The other one was Malakai Black, because obviously. I feel like Eddie Kingston, too.
Nice.
It would be one of those three, but I almost can't pick which one, because it's so tough. It's tough because you get the great talking and obviously in-ring work with Adam. And obviously Eddie's a great wrestler in the ring in his own right, but he's definitely known more for like the mic work.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Malakai, we've said it before, and I will continue to say it until it's no longer a fact, which is never going to happen. He is without a doubt one of the most creative minds in wrestling today. So
oh, for sure.
The amount of stuff he could come up with, if he's like the face of your company, is insane. I feel like just for that alone, I think I'll say Malakai and Jamie for AEW for me.
Malakai and Jamie, those are good picks. What about your WWE picks?
Oh boy. I feel like for the women, it would be, oh God. Dakota. I feel like it would be Dakota Kai, because I've said it time and time again, and a lot of people on the internet agree with me that she is probably one of the most underrated women on they have on that roster, because she can talk. She's clearly not, like we've said, one-dimensional, because we've seen the different types of characters she's had during her time with WWE, so she definitely can adapt.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best all-around wrestlers in the ring, male or female, in that company or in the world. Again, as much as I would have loved to have said Shayna, I think the problem is with her, and it's not even really with her, it's just with like the wrestling fans in general, is that her style of wrestling does not translate to the overall audience of wrestling in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people like the flashy, over the top, like high flying and big moves, and oh my God, like left and right, all these just big moves that just like make you lose your mind. Shayna does not do that. But I, like we've said, we appreciate that style of wrestling where it's more mat based, smash your teeth in, I'm not going to do anything fancy, I'm just going to beat you to a pulp to win the match. I think like that's why I like Shayna and like Karrion a lot, because they pretty much just beat you into dust. But not everybody likes that style of wrestling. So I feel like personally, I would put Shayna as the face of my division, but it just wouldn't business wise be a good idea. So I'll stay with Dakota, and then men's side, I would say, oh boy. There's a lot of names you could put for the men's side.
Definitely a thinker.
You know what? I'm going to go out of the box a little bit on this one, and I'm going to say Sheamus.
Sheamus?
That is outside
of the box. Interesting.
Because we kind of talked about it when we were talking about Rhea, where he is just, you can count on him every time to deliver a really good performance in the ring. And I think people now are just finally realizing how good he is. And he's always been that way, and just finally people just have caught up, I guess. And he's just super dependable, and you know, the whole banger after banger thing is like, I get that, like his joke or whatever, it's kind of a truth. Like he has been on a roll lately of just having really good matches, and he's just that kind of a dependable kind of guy. And he can work with just about anyone, because like we said earlier, he's not afraid to take a hit. So yeah. Every match with him is going to be believable, and if he's going to take the hits, he's going to make the other guy look like $1,000, because you lay a kick in and someone's not going to sell it for you, it's going to look like crap. He does it, it's going to look like he got his head knocked clean off his shoulders. So those kind of details actually make a difference. So you would want a solid, dependable kind of guy. Obviously, like, he's not lighting the world on fire on the mic, but I think his work speaks for himself, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll say Dakota and Sheamus.
That's an interesting pick there. I like it though. I like it. Those are some good picks. As far as me, in terms of AEW, who would I pick as my pillars? I would go not necessarily outside of the box, but for my male choice, it would be Bryan Danielson, only because he comes with such a wealth of knowledge and expertise that he would be able to help the other parts of the division elevate them, and you could put a title on him and it makes sense. He just seems like a title type guy, you know, that can carry a division, be the head of the division, and much can be said about the same side for the females too. I think Jamie Hayter is a perfect choice for a pillar to start a company, because she's much like you said, like with Sheamus, she's not one dimensional. She's got the athleticism, the wrestling expertise. She likes to hit hard. She likes to make her matches look believable. So I really like that about her. So those would be my two AEW choices, Bryan Danielson and Jamie Hayter. Nice. As far as my WWE choices, I think for the male, I would go with Gunther.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I just think, like, he has something that's different. I think he's something that's different. He's a little bit of a throwback wrestler. He's got that intimidating presence to him. Mm-hmm. And he's really carrying the Intercontinental Champion. He's one of those examples where he makes the title, not the title makes him.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as far as my women's choice for WWE, I would go with Tegan Nox.
Yeah, that's another good one.
I think Tegan Nox is just like a complete wrestler. You know, when I think of complete wrestlers, I think of like AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, people like that who just have it all together. And I think Tegan Nox has it all together. She just hasn't had a chance to show it. And I think this could be a big year for her.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one. Those are some good picks too. I like those.
Yeah, that's a fun question.
Right. We actually have a little bit of an extra part for that one. So he said, pick a couple names outside of WWE and AEW. I feel like for the women, it'd be kind of, I'd say a little easy for me. Like, obviously, you say Deonna Purrazzo, because, of course, that's a pretty self-explanatory.
Jordynne Grace.
Honestly, I go out of the box, because I know I've never really mentioned her name a lot, but I've always been a fan of hers, is Jessica Havoc.
Oh, okay.
Because I've always kind of liked her style in the ring as well, because she's like a big, strong woman that is not afraid to throw people around. So I always appreciate that a little bit.
Definitely.
Well, in the same breath, you might as well say Rosemary while you're at it, because she's pretty damn good too. Men's side, I think, obviously, you'd have to say Jay White, because, again, that's pretty self-explanatory. You would want somebody like him on the roster. Who else are the men? Everyone I keep thinking of, I already know, is in WWE or AEW. I mean, I feel like you'd want Kota Ibushi, too.
Ooh, anybody would want Kota Ibushi.
Take him before anybody else can get a hold of him.
Man, that would be something.
You know what? I guess we can use, I think we could also use this one too, because he's not technically a part of AEW, Minoru Suzuki. Like, why would you not want Suzuki on your roster?
Oh my god.
Can you imagine? That
would be so much fun.
Right? That would be insane.
Just murdering the young kids?
Yeah, like, teach them the hard way about wrestling. that would be so much fun.
That would be fun.
Trying to think if there's anybody else. You know what? I feel like, you know what? Just for Jeff, I would want to see someone like Kairi, Julia, you know, Yamashita, Hayashishita. Like, take any of the Joshis, too, because I feel like you throw a couple Joshis on there and you have a very well-rounded women's division in any company you would make.
Yeah, that would be my focus, is the women's division.
Yeah, because I feel like that seems to be the problem with most of the companies are the women's divisions never really as on par with the men. Some are better than others, but I feel like you need a company that like puts their women's division at the forefront all the time. Someday I think we'll get, maybe we'll get there someday, but who knows. You have any other names you'd like to throw on?
Oh man, I'm really a big fan of Takeshka right now, man. He's just like every time I see him, I'm just like, wow, he's so good. And now he's signed to AEW exclusively now, I think. I think so. Yeah. That kind of takes him out of running. Outside of AEW and WWE, I'd go with like Jonathan Gresham.
That's a good one.
I like Jonathan Gresham a lot. I love his style of wrestling. Speedball Mike Bailey.
Yeah, that's a sneaky good one.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen a lot of his work, but a lot of his work is just solid stuff. Yeah. Man, who else?
It's tough.
It's tough because I feel like with AEW, the one, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but when AEW came to town, mm-hmm. it gave a chance to a lot of these indie guys to not be indie guys anymore.
Yeah.
You know, because I felt like independent wrestling was on the rise, and it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to have AEW around and picking up all these guys. But like, because again, how would you ever known about people like AR Fox?
Yeah. You know, or Lee Moriarty.
Lee Moriarty, Action Andretti, you know, these young kids that are coming up now. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I feel like we need more of a focus on independent wrestling and to put a spotlight on who's doing the work in independent wrestling and try to build that up more.
Yeah, exactly. I am 100% with you on that one. It's it would be a fun time, wouldn't it?
Yes, it definitely would.
It'd be a great time. Maybe someday if we get enough money.
Yeah, in terms of money, we need about a half a mil.
Yeah, you know, we can do that in a few years.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, definitely. I believe that is all the questions.
Wow. That last question was a doozy.
Right. I love those ones, though. Those are my favorite ones.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, you guys, if you were just listening to this episode or if you're a new listener and you would like to know where you can send in your questions, that's a great question. You can find us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at the same handle. That is at Ringside Rundown. Again, at Ringside Rundown is where you can find us on social media and send in your questions and be a part of the show. This is the best part about this podcast is we're opening it up more to what you guys want to hear. And less of the same thing that everybody else is doing.
Yes, exactly.
And if you want to talk to me directly about wrestling or anything of that matter, you can reach me on Twitter at WrestlingChron. That's Wrestling C-H-R-O-N. I also Twitch stream. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/EricTheGhost. I Twitch stream Monday through Friday, so check me out if you have the time. And Shay, where can they check you out?
You can find me on Twitter at ShayleneHixon21. Just talking sports, talking video games, talking wrestling, all the things. And definitely check out Eric's Twitch. I always say it. At some point, maybe I'll come back to it. Who knows? But for now, definitely go check out Eric's. This is always a good time.
Thank you very much. If you want to check out this podcast, it's available all across the board on the internet and is distributed through Anchor FM. So check us out. Our main profile is anchor.fm/ringside rundown. But if you listen to podcasts on places like Apple Music, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to find the Ringside Rundown podcast by searching Ringside Rundown. If you can't find it, like I said, hit us up on social media and we will deliver a link to the podcast to you on a silver platter where you can listen to the episode and let us know how much you love it. And like I said earlier, be a part of the episode. Send in your questions, comments, rants, opinions on anything wrestling, and we'll voice it on the show.
Yes, but it's still collecting dust. We need someone to use it.
It's there. The silver platter is there. It's just waiting on its beck and call to be used.
Yes, exactly.
So that is the end of the episode, ladies and gentlemen. For Shay Hixon, my name is Eric Vasquez. We will be back next week with another episode of the Ringside Rundown podcast. For now, we bid you adieu. Good night.
See you guys.